Listen, there's a lot to learn when growing and scaling your business.
That's why we created the Business Choreography Podcast, where we talk about choreographing your marketing, operations, and sales into dynamic systems that increase your revenue and your impact.
We'll explore solid business principles and discuss all things that make businesses dance to success with clarity.
We'll help you figure out where the holes are in your business and what you can do to fix them. Think of us as your official business choreographers, aka your insider growth strategists.
Remember, your choreography matters. Welcome to the Business Choreography Podcast. What's up, everybody? Michael Johnson here with the Business Choreography Podcast. And I'm excited you joined me today because we have a very special guest. We are on backstage and behind the scenes with Business Choreography, where we talk about the planning and composition of the parts and pieces of business that make up the experience you deliver to your audience, your team, and you. And today on the show, we have Steve Larson, one of the best marketers and businessmen of our time. Steve has a long track record of successfully marketing all sorts of methods. Most recent, Dramatic Demonstrations, a book he's currently co-authoring with Russell Brunson. Steve is known for his unique market disruption flywheel, a CMO concept he created to automate daily lead flow. He also created and popularized his brand, The Capitalist Pig, with thousands, including myself, wearing that swag worldwide. Guys, we are so freaking lucky to have Steve join us on the show today. And without further ado, we're going to bring him right on and get this party started. So, Steve, welcome to the show. How are you doing, man?
That's quite the intro. If I ever need a hype person, or if I should, any days that bad, I'm just going to call you, Michael, and be like, hey, tell me that intro again. And make me sound awesome. Thanks, man.
Absolutely, man. I'm your man. I got you covered. Well, today on the show, we've got some fun segments and we're going to go through and just hit it out. We used to do a lot of backstory, but guys, you can go find Steve's backstory everywhere. You can find out all about him. He is all over the place, literally, and you're going to want to know him. So you can go do that, but we're going to get into the juicy stuff right away. We're going to start right into the juicy stuff. So let's run our first segment and we'll jump right in.
Choreo Confessions, the unscripted reality, where we talk about choreography that fell apart or just didn't work, and we want to know why.
Here we go. Choreo Confessions. That's what this one's all about.
Love it.
And we just want to know about some of the times when you've created some choreography that didn't go as planned in your business. And you've been around the block. You've been in with Russell. You've been in with yourself, with Marley. You've done so many freaking things and created some incredible pieces of business choreography. But there have bound to have been some pieces that just failed miserably. And we want to know what happened. What were the key factors to those failing?
Yeah. It's crazy. I've been building funnels and doing marketing for 10 years now. I can't believe that. It blows my mind. I mean, where did 10 years go? You know, that's just nuts. And as I look backwards, it's interesting. I love that you asked this question because no one asks this first off. So that's really cool. I always want to know about the winners, which is exciting also. But I mean, I've had a lot of time to reflect on this, because I think for probably 4 or 5 years there, I was really loud. I mean, we put out a new episode every day on 17 platforms,
wow,
Monday through Friday for 2.5 years. I mean, and if it wasn't on that, then it was something else. Like and as I look back on like what worked really well versus what didn't, the biggest shifts have been actually just within my own leadership style. I, for a while, would just not be patient enough, you know, because I was like, everyone is an Energizer Bunny like me, and everyone sees the future like I do, you know what I mean? Everyone's got and that just wasn't true. And so there was either people on my team that I just wasn't patient enough with, or wasn't good enough at translating vision into their heads. And I thought that I was doing that, you know, so then they get held to an expectation that I thought was clear that wasn't. I would say that what the like that's probably been one of the biggest, as I come, you know, it's really been probably about a year or two. I was a little bit quiet there and a lot of reassessing was going on in that time. And I was just kind of like, okay, let's re-relate with this whole world a little bit more. And then what am I bringing to the table that's not correct? And that is the number one thing that pops in my mind. So, just team patience in terms of training, right, leading versus commanding. And I was an officer in the Army. And so it's kind of, you know, it was very natural for me to blur those lines a little bit. So, yeah.
Sure. I love that. What about, you know, you put on a lot of events and you put on a lot of things. Talk to us about some of the things that kind of went wrong. We're going to get to the good stuff later. Okay. So don't worry about that. But like, and we all know you're the bomb. We know that you've knocked it out of the park so many times, but we also know that to knock it out of the park all of those times, you had to have put together some great plans and they fell apart.
Sure. Or at least didn't. I mean, the plan almost never goes exactly as I design it, you know?
Right.
Which I think for a while kind of led to me over-designing. I would over-design. I would slow down because I was trying to compensate for imagined risk instead of real risk, you know?
Right.
So it's weird. I had almost like the dial was turned so hard to the sprint 24/7. I think for a little while, I kind of turned the dial back the other way. And now I'm like, okay, happy medium. So as far as one that didn't do great, and this is just because of my personality. I don't love running agency businesses, you know, not to say they didn't work. They did. I hated it.
Right.
I hated it so much. I'm just not that kind of guy. I'm the guy that likes to go in the cave and come back with some new discovery. I'm not. And so as far as a choreography failure would be not correctly judging the personality that a certain business model takes to run.
Right.
You know what I mean? It worked. It just sucked my soul out, man. Just you know, and I was like, I hate this, you know. So I'm not that way anymore, but
right,
there was a solid year or two there, you know, that man, I just, the choreography, I couldn't even plan anything at that point. I was just very locked up in a creative sense.
Yeah. How did you handle that? I mean, like when you were doing that, how did you handle kind of coming to grips with that and finding it out? Like, I know a lot of people feel like, oh, I started this and I have to keep going no matter what. Otherwise, failure. You know, how did you handle that?
Yeah, you know, I believe that business is like the best personal development course that you never knew you were enrolling in when you started it. You know, and so there's like you're going after some model and trying to grow that, but you don't realize it's also growing you at the same speed.
Sure.
And so something takes off really, really fast. Like my career kind of took off really quick and it was almost a little bit too fast for my internals to handle. And that's really when I started getting into agency business and my personality didn't fit that really well, or I just didn't like it. And, you know, and handling it has been learning more balance. Yeah. I had a coach tell me about 2 years ago, he's like, Steve, you keep trying to optimize everything in your life. But that's not your problem. I said, well, tell me, that's why I'm paying you. And he goes, your problem is you have a needs problem. He said, I'm going to use your own trick back on you. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, whenever someone says they have a traffic problem, you always blow their mind by saying they actually have a messaging issue. There's no such thing as a traffic problem. And I was like, okay, hit me. And he goes, you have a needs problem. You never get your needs met. You think that your own individual needs are like, you give yourself the scraps. All of your effort, time, energy, intentions are being dumped into, you know, this business, which is cool to some extent, but like, it's not a longevity based move. And so I would say that, you know, just to be super real, and I love your questions because this is really raw. Just let it come out. So here we're going there. He's like, dude, you suck at social interaction with people. Like you suck at it. And at the time I was hiring bodyguards every time I would go to Funnel Hacking Live, just cause I couldn't handle the amount of people. And, and I'm not that way anymore, but because of him, he said, stop hiding behind those freaking bodyguards. He's like, you are actually keeping away the very thing that's going to unlock the next tier for you, which is human interaction.
Right.
And he said, the next FHL, don't bring a bodyguard. And I was scared out of my mind to not be hiding.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't know if I totally answered how, but that's been really the individual journey I've been on to answer that first thing.
I love it. All right, let's kick into the second segment here. This one's fun. Current Events Choreo, exploring today's choreography, where we talk about the best piece of choreography in the news or current events. All right, so there's all sorts of things going on in modern day business and with all sorts of people, solopreneurs, whether it's a medium-sized business or corporate, you know, whatever it is. What kind of current events or choreography in business have you seen that you're like, dang, that was good? Like, that was, that thing they did was good.
Yeah. wondering what topics are okay.
All of them.
Okay. where are you? I mean, our government knows marketing now, so that's interesting.
Yeah, that's it's been fun, hasn't it?
Yeah, straight out of the playbook. My gosh. But to sidestep that one, who is the guy? There's a guy that got big. He couldn't get canceled because he knew that he was going to get really, gosh, what's his name? He knew he was going to be really confrontational with his message and very unapologetic. And so what he did is he went to all these. He sold a course to teenagers and said, if you want to make some extra side money, learn how to be a video editor. It's an epic skill set. Everyone wants video. You probably want to be an influencer one day. Hey, you don't have any video of your own? Just take all of my videos, edit them, and put them out on your own channels. So they couldn't cancel the dude because all these thousands of teenagers spending like $50 a month to learn video editing. And he's out there on thousands of teenager sites. Is brilliant way to enlist, you know, in a very Trojan horse way. I thought that was mind-blowing,
freaking crazy.
What is his name?
He's talking about, he's that fighter, that MMA guy.
Yeah. I see his face. Anyway,
yeah, my son follows him.
Yeah, right. That blew my mind.
I love that. All right, we're going to jump right into the next segment. You ready for this one?
Let's do it.
Choreo Crap, exposing the bad choreo, where we expose the worst pieces of choreography that have been purchased. We've all bought crap. We've all bought business crap. I think that's part of a rite of passage for all business owners, whether you're brand new starting off or you're a versed veteran. We tend to buy bad choreographed business. I want to know about one that you've purchased in your history that was just crap, and it was just crap choreography.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, you know what grinds my gears? Start out like that. You know what really grinds my gears is when someone writes a book that is clearly not a book and it was a sales letter that they just have in 15,000 point font with a billion spaces between each line. Like that, I don't know. I'm so excited to be working on a book with Russell right now, but like, it's a book. It's not a sales letter. And it, like, that drives me nuts. I don't know. Or when I can tell that people are relying on AI to write their copy. It sucks at writing copy, everyone. Don't stop it. It's like, it's a good brainstorming tool, but it's terrible. It's like, anyway, if someone's going to say the word supercharge your lead source anymore, like, bland marketing drives me nuts. I'm totally armchair quarterbacking when I see this stuff, but I'm like, I spent 10 years in this space. So I get really feisty around someone calling a book that's not a book. And then, you know, or when you can tell that just they're trying to just rely on too much automation. You can automate too much.
Right. Well, you know, the interesting thing to me is that AI has just, you know, it's blown up over the last year and a little bit. I mean, I remember when ChatGPT opened up, I think it was like November of 22, right? And it just all of a sudden took off from there, and it's just been so fast.
Yeah.
And somebody asked me the other day what the big issue was, or what I thought was the big hole. And I think you just nailed it. Like, people are using it to do everything and marketing one of them. And there's going to be this big gap of like actual human created content. And then the AI is going to start using the AI to do the next set of content. So we're going to have this like double gap of crap.
Yeah. So this is what I think is happening, because it seems like 2020 forward, most companies right now are either on a plateau or slightly declining. Most, like, there's right. Most people are struggling right now. And what I think, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what's happening, because I have clients and I'm trying to help them with their stuff too. What I think is happening is that pre-2020, there were all these companies that could survive because they had an amazing offer and they knew how to sell it. But sales and marketing are not the same. And they survived because they solely because they had a great offer, solely because they knew how to sell it, but they didn't know how to market. And so because there weren't that many people on the internet, I mean, I'm not saying obviously tons of people on the internet, but remember in 2020, like people were like, as a whole, it's like the world was like, you can make money online. And there's just this surge of untalented people came on, right? So all these people come in. So now there's more competition. People are trying to figure out how to do things like write copy for the first time.
Right.
And all these companies who never really took the time to figure out really how to market now are being forced to, because these AI machines produce bland marketing. And they're just being drowned out. It's not that their stuff is bad or their offer is bad. They just, now they're in a position where they actually have to figure out messaging for marketing instead of messaging for sales, because they're totally different things.
Right.
That's what I think is happening right now.
All right. Well, I'm not letting you out of this segment.
Cool.
Worst high ticket offer you've ever bought. You don't have to say who they are, but I want to know what it was. Come on, man. I know you've bought more than your fair share.
Yeah. Without saying any names, there's a dude I bought a package from that he just was lacking empathy. You know, and I'm going to rant a little. Is that all right? I could just, yeah. These questions are good, man. I see why you're doing this. I'm glad you didn't tell me them ahead of time, because this is very raw. Okay. I hate when people sell fame. I hate it. Don't sell fame. I got famous because I'm good, not because I sought it. You know what I mean? And I think it's a good piece to understand. And like, I you know, hopefully it's okay to pat my back like that. But like, man, get talented and get famous because you're talented. So there's a dude I bought something from, and he was supposed to try to help me get on TV, you know, and one of the reasons I wanted to do that is because it's one of the most ultimate distribution channels on the planet, traditional TV, you know. And I hadn't written a book yet. I thought I would at that time have one by then, and I'd get on Good Morning America and show my book, you know. And so I bought his program, and then life happened, and I started going through a serious, you know, with all the respect to my former relationship, pretty intense divorce.
Right.
And in the middle of that program, and he just like would yell at me, and he's like, that's no excuse. He's like, buck it up, you know, don't feel sorry at all. It's a very interesting experience inside. I couldn't do anything in the guy's program because everything was pre-framed with you're an idiot. And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I was in the army. I do not respond well to negative reinforcement. I don't need that crap in my life anymore. Like, And any of the products that I've been in where someone is like either deliberately just trying to sell fame for the sake of it, I'm always like, you're just blowing up smoke. I could go buy a million likes on YouTube right now, you know, through stupid click circles and stuff like that, and be the smoke and mirror thing. And I crap on that business. I just, oh man. And I didn't know that's what I was buying. I thought I was buying this other thing. And there's just this like smoke and mirror thing drove me nuts. Yeah, the other one is when someone is an agency and they say they can scale with you, then they start using your name to go get more sales, and now their agency can't handle your account because they grew too fast. Ran into that one a bunch.
How? Yeah. What kind of advice would you give to people that are out there on their journey? You know, they in good faith want to buy the help with the coaching, the high ticket services that they need.
Yeah.
You know, like so many sales teams are trained to you know, go for the jugular, get the sale today. Yeah. You know, what can you tell some of these entrepreneurs, whether they're in the beginning of their journey or really in that, I really think it's like the small media, like that medium sized business where they have the money to spend, that yeah. there's a whole lot of people taking advantage of them. So how, what would you tell them to be able to, you know, make it through that phase without wasting their money? How can they interview those people or understand whether it's the real deal or not?
I really like 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. You know, Stephen Covey in there, he says that all conflict begins with a misunderstanding or a misalignment. I'm misquoting it, but all conflict is due to a misalignment in roles and goals. That's it, period. And I think that's a really great way to handle it. And so if you're going to go buy something from someone and it's not really clear what the role is and what the goal is of both parties, throw some red flags. And, you know, if it's a high pressure thing, pressure is a terrible driver for decision making. And so I feel like if you're drowning because you're trying to get some help, like using money instead of the creative entrepreneurship power within you to solve a problem is already the beginning of the end, in my opinion. And I would just take a breath, get some space on it, drop the pressure and make a decision from a place of neutrality. Because if you toss emotion either high or low into it, it already will pre-frame in this terrible way, either for yourself or every once in a while it doesn't happen very much anymore because I'm pretty good at spotting it and not letting it buy from me. But right. when someone thinks that I'm going to save them, you know what I mean? Like, oh, you're Frodo. And like, no, you're Frodo. I'm Gandalf, right? I'm going to help you do this path, but I can't save you. You right. know, and I think when, if there's a mentality of someone going, I'm going to buy this thing because I need help, someone needs to save me, it's already the wrong tone to purchase.
Right. Right. I love that. My partner and I were having that conversation the other day after getting off of a pitch to us. Sure. And, you know, we got off and I said, you know, no one's coming to save us. We just got to buck up and get this done because, it, you know, just the way they had presented it was in that way. And it was kind of like they had presented themselves as going to save us. And it like threw my red flag, just like you said. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. No, you are not coming to save me. I am the only one. I'm the only one that's going to save me.
Yeah. And then it creates a codependent relationship
right.
in a business setting where it's like, right. and then what I found that happens too, is that like, if that, for some reason, if it does work out down the line, you know, and I give all the love to this individual I'm thinking of as I say this, but I didn't realize he was codependent on me. Right. I didn't know that. And so he was purchasing a friendship when I was selling it in this offer.
Right.
And I didn't see it. This was probably like 6 years ago, you know, and I was like, man. And so I found that, you know, the offer is a really great way to figure out, it's a two-way contract. When that whole phrase, like in college, like the customer is always right, which is garbage. Right. The offer is a two-way agreement. You know, I am not at the 100% whim desire of my customer if it's outside the context of the offer I sold them, you know? It's like,
right.
Yeah. Anyway.
I love it. Yeah. All right. Let's head into our next segment and our last segment, the most important one. Here we go.
Choreo Confidential, the secret sauce where we talk about insider secrets that make businesses dance to success.
This is all so right. cool.
I love it. Choreo Confidential, this is where we talk about what's going on in your business right now. But I want to know, like everybody else is going to hear, and you know, of course, we want you to promote what you're doing because we love you and we want everybody to know about you, right? And so I'm sure it's going to come up, but I want to know about the behind the scenes of it. So I'm just going to kind of lead you there. You're writing a book with Russell. How cool is that? I mean, you guys have been friends for ages, partners for ages. You've supported him. He's supported you. I love it. And you've been in the behind the scenes, the staying up all night, doing a funnel that he decided on, and then you had to do it the next day. You have done all of those things, and they require choreography on a funnel. They require choreography for Funnel Hacking Live, for your event, for offer launch. You know, there's so much choreography that's going on. And so I want to know about the choreography that's going on right now for dramatic demonstrations, because I know I can see it from the outside, a face value, but I want to know about the guts. I want to know about the funnel. I want to know about the event. I want to know about the value ladder, the offer. I want to know about the back end of what's going on. Please share.
Absolutely. You know, when I first started working over at ClickFunnels, I always knew that I was going to go be an entrepreneur on my own one day. And he knew that too.
Sure.
And very much into the art of the business as much as the business of the business, you know. And when we were working on the first Expert Secrets book, probably like 3 months after I started working there. And so we're ping ponging back and forth on stuff and different, you know, concepts. And it's a really fun exercise we've done together a few times. I actually still do it on my own where we put, well, I'll tell you, here's the behind the scenes. Here's what it takes. And I'll kind of tell you how it's the choreograph of it as well, is that I've learned that it takes longer to identify and get clarity on the problems in our lives than it does to solve them. And so I will spend a long time with a legal notepad trying to get clarity on a question. And it sounds really simple, but it's actually a lot harder than people think to really understand a problem. Right. And so you understand the problem. So what our process was, and what I've done on myself and my own stuff a lot now, is I'll sit down to write I'm like, okay, new book or new project or a new course, something when it's a massive creative endeavor. I'll sit down on the legal pad and I'll just write the problem, and I put it on my floor, kind of at like the top of the room, you know, one side of the room. And then just off the top of my head, I'll start listing out some subtopics, and I start walking through all of my bookshelves with that main question, seeing, oh, that book looks like it would answer it, that one. And so I end up with this huge pile of books on my floor. So I have tons of bookshelves. And then what I do is I spend the next long time rifling. I'm not really reading as much as I am looking for answers, and writing down little quotes. And I start to create these sub segments of the chapters and topics. You know, I'm like, here's some quotes on that topic. Here's some quotes on this one. And then here's some stories. Here's some supporting. Here's some a proof. And I staple it, and that becomes a slide deck. That's a speech now, or a chapter in a book. And so that's kind of the back of how we do that. Well, going through that with Russell on these, I knew, and I told him many times, that one day I knew that I would be good enough in order to write one with him, you know, where my name's actually on one of them instead of just brainstorming in the back end.
Right.
The choreography, though, of what it's taken to do that has been quite the endeavor. And in 2020, I was comparing these stories of Rich Dad Marketers, P.T. Barnum, you know, those guys. And I was sitting there and I started noticing that there's a pattern in how Barnum was using marketing channels to launch products, right? And there's no internet. It's the 1800s. And so I'm like, man, like, how cool you get to study what marketing is without sometimes the crutch of the internet. These guys didn't have the internet. How did they get so rich so fast? You know, and it couldn't email, you know, it's like, it's really fascinating to study marketing in that period, because I think it's more pure. It's easier. Otherwise you're like, what time do I post on Facebook? And you can kind of get sucked down those holes thinking that that's marketing. It's not really marketing.
Right.
You know, so anyway, I was dropping something off at Russell's house. Anyway, side story, doesn't matter. I was dropping something off at his house, and I was like handing him a box of stuff. And I was like, dude, I'm finding some crazy cool crap about Barnum. And I started telling him about it. And my hope was that he would get excited about it, because I knew what I was finding would solve one of the biggest problems that the marketing world is having right now. And he would be the voice that I could write it off the back of to get in front of a lot of people quickly. And just true to how Russell is, it was like 4 to 6 months later, you know, he's mulling, and he messages me and he goes, dude, that was some good stuff. I was like, it's been 6 months since we talked about this. Like, you remember it? Like, and he's like, there's no one else I'd want to co-author a book with on Rich Dad Marketers. Do you want to do it? I was like, yeah, I got a ton of research in that phase. But what it's taken to do it has been the hard part. And even though we're friends, I'm very cautious of taking advantage of his status.
Sure.
Well,
you've been there yourself where other people have tried to do it with you. And so it makes total sense.
Yeah. So very, maybe perhaps too sensitive to it, you know? So the behind the scenes choreography has been that I had this really deep insight about what a dramatic demonstration is. So we taught at Funnel Hacking Live 1 year, you know, 5,000 people. And then it kept bothering me. And to me, this means there's usually like some kind of insight or download coming. Like there's this another piece. And so I taught it in one of the inner circle groups, mastermind groups. And Russell's like, that's the missing piece. I was like, yeah. And so everyone knows the missing piece was, so dramatic demonstration is basically a style of launching your product out there that's so loud, you can't not hear about it. And right. it doesn't need to take a lot of money, but it's not just a loud launch. And that's where people misunderstand it. And there's a pattern on how Barnum would do these is very clear once I got awareness of it. The missing piece, what I realized while studying all these Rich Dad guys was that none of them ever spread their sales message. Ever. They didn't talk about their offer. They didn't spread. That's not what they were spreading. They didn't go take out an ad in a newspaper so that they could spread sales message. What they spread was hook and hook messaging. And until that point, I got to be honest, I kind of thought that a hook was just a headline.
Right.
And it's been in doing all this research, realizing that these guys almost never talked about their sales message. What they would do is they would use a different style of message writing to get someone's interest so that when they finally internally said, you know what, I am interested, and they'd raise their own hand, then they would go consume the sales message. And what I think this is going to solve for people is, you know, we get all these marketers who are struggling with their messaging right now because they're spreading sales message. They never actually learned this style. I think that what we're about to put out is going to be as impactful as the perfect webinar script, because the perfect webinar script is not a marketing script. It's a sales script,
right?
You know? Anyway, so the behind the scenes choreography has been knowing that the best way we've ever, you know, worked on the same books together has been to do a workshop. We always do an event to test the book. And so that's what's coming up. So I don't know if I totally directly answered your question, but that's kind of what's been going on. It's been a huge labor of love.
No, I love it. I love it. How do you go about choreographing that event to match up with the book and to test it at the same time? Because I mean, that's such a fine balance, right? You're putting the event, people are paying to come to the event. They're wanting the actual information, but you're also testing the information. How do you go about choreographing that event?
It can be a little nerve-wracking, you know? So when I find something like a new model, there's divergent thinking where you're exploring, and then there's convergent where you're coming to conclusions. And I think that what most people do is they do the brainstorm, but they don't do the pruning, you know? So they just, I got a framework. I'm like, no, you have an idea. Now you have to spend as equal amount of time disproving your idea, making fun of it, whittling it down. Why does your idea suck? Tell me why. Don't fall in love with it. And so I've been working on this for 3-4 years now, and half of the time has been in the convergent, in the pruning phase. And so when I can feel that my brainstorm major portion is over, then I'll start to apply the principle to a client, to myself, onesie twosies. Does it work? Let's test it out. It might not work. Let's not get emotionally attached. If I can see that it's starting to work with a lot of people and I've been making fun of it and the theory still survives, then we'll go do an event, you know? And so that's why Russell and I spoke at Funnel Hacking Live the last few times, is to make it so we could keep testing it and I can see if people are getting it. Because usually the audience starts to guide you by that point, you know?
Right.
So yeah, there's been two speeches on other events. I've done several events of my own on it now. And now we'll do the workshop together, which is meant to be like the book filming, and each speech is a chapter. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I love that. So did you write the book first and now you're going to do that? Or are you going to write the actual book of the book based off of those? Like, which way are you going?
I like to, he and I are very similar in this. We'll do the event first, and then usually hand all of the replays to a ghostwriter.
Right.
I don't ever leave it in their hands completely, but I just want them to get the first version of clay out. You know what I mean? And then I always rewrite everything after that. So
I love that. Yeah. Back from my professional dancing days. I mean, that was such a huge portion of it as we choreographed for, you know, our professionals, our amateurs, even our youth and baby dancers that were just coming up the ranks. One of the things I would always tell them is that this first round is a blueprint because we're just coming up with the ideas that could go on you. And then we're going to spend the rest of the year, all the way leading to your national championship or whatever your big moment is. We're going to spend the rest of the year working through that choreography and testing it and finding the things that are right. Because if you can't do the splits, you shouldn't be doing the splits, right? But I see it all the time in business, all the time. People are doing shiz in their business that they have no business doing because they saw somebody else do it and or somebody sold them the thing, the piece of choreography saying, well, this worked for me. You know,
and like, it's not directly translatable. Yeah. I feel like one of the business best things you can kind of tell a little bit more of matured business organization. I feel like if they increase the time between idea and action, if the time is really short, it's like, you don't really have a strategy here, do you? You're just looking for the next hypey thing.
Sure.
I've got a quote on my wall. I love, from Ray Kurzweil. He says, "The purposeful destruction of information is the essence of intelligent work."
Yeah.
I love that. It's not about more. It's like, how simple can you make it while still, you know, keeping the essence of it? Deletion is just as hard as addition. And it's also just as important.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that. Man, I could riff on this with you all day long. Dramatic. Oh, demonstrations is coming up soon, I would assume.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be able to glean the wisdom from your years of your journey. And we appreciate it so much. I want to, you know, kind of close up by saying, I am so grateful and thankful to you, on this journey. It's been a super fun ride. I know I'm speaking for my business partner and myself. We are so grateful to you. We are so thankful for the lessons we've learned, for the podcast, for the ups and the downs that you've shared. We're so thankful that you have taken on the burden of the work that you do. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. I don't even think that a lot of business owners in their early stages understand and know the burden that you take on as being in the position that you're in. So I'm so thankful for you sharing the journey along the way, sharing your knowledge with us, and continuing to want to serve all of us out here in the world of business. And we appreciate you being on the show. Can you leave us with some last words of wisdom, and then we'll close up?
I appreciate that a lot. You know, means a lot. I have reevaluated my entire business strategy to recognize that I feel like what the next 5 to 10 years that everyone's going to see out of what we're going to do is themed around helping innovators and creatives feel that it's safe enough to continue to create. I think that that's the next move for everybody. It's innovation for the sake of it is, I think, what will pull a lot of us out of the garbage that we're in right now. And if people keep creating, we'll be all right. If they stop, we won't.
Right.
Because we'll continue to pivot around the problems we're all experiencing. And then the problems will never end. But if we stop pivoting, the problem will remain. And the same is true in business. And so I wouldn't ever, to anyone watching or listening, you know, it's like, if whatever that next problem is, when you're an entrepreneur, you enlisted in a perpetual problem solving seat. Right. And so there will always be another problem. But if you change your relationship with the problem, where there's no reflection of self-worth, and there's no, you know, looking at the time or comparing how fast someone else did this thing. And you start, let me go solve this problem. Half of those problems are showing up just to grow you, right? And so change the relationship with the problems, keep creating and recognize that, you know, it drops the internal pressure. I think there's a lot of pressure our world feels that you got to be on stage, get the next award, do the next thing. And it's like, that's cool. But I've been there, done that. It's kind of, it really does not lead very far. You know, it's a short road. And so the longer road is to fall in love with innovating, fall in love with your customer, or fall in love. And if you don't love your customer, change them, change your business, you know?
Right.
So anyway, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on here, man. Really appreciate it. And thanks for your words as well.
Absolutely. Listen, guys, business choreography is what makes up your show. You might have a one-man band, a crazy circus, or a finely tuned ceremony, but no matter what, if it's working, there's choreography behind it. If it's not, there probably isn't. So remember, it's your show. If you don't choreograph it, it's going to suck. Until next time, keep choreographing your business. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for joining us today.
Want more business choreography?
Check out our website at bizchoreo.com to find out more.
And find out how the choreography for your marketing, operations, and sales can raise your revenue and create more impact.
Remember, every business needs choreography.